You're listening to the Douglas Jacoby Podcast. Here we bring you some of the material found on Douglas's website in podcast form. We hope that as you listen, you are challenged to think about faith. Today, Douglas continues his series on the book of Amos, now looking at Amos L. For more on this episode, follow the link in the show notes to Douglas's website. Now here's today's teaching.
Now we come to our final lesson. The words of Amos burst upon the landscape of the northern kingdom, Israel, with all the terror and surprise of a lion's roar. Though their main targets were the palaces of Samaria and the shrines at Bethel and Gilgal, the prophet's words were to resound throughout Israel's entire landscape, leaving no part nor person unscathed. I began this series with those words from the Tyndale Commentary. The message of doom, however, is followed by a message of hope. It's the gospel. The bad news must be appreciated before the good news is good news, before it is gospel. As one theologian put it, Yahweh committed himself to Jacob's descendants long before they committed themselves to him. And so, after the period of punishment is fulfilled, there will be restoration. Whereas most of the books of the prophets alternate judgment and restoration oracles, in Amos it's only at the very end, in fact in this part of chapter 9, that hope burns bright. Let's read the concluding verses of the prophet Amos. In that day, I will restore David's fallen shelter. I will repair its broken walls and restore its ruins, and will rebuild it as it used to be, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do these things. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman, and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from the hills, and I will bring my people Israel back from exile. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord, your God. The people will return. There's a reversal. And the book of Amos is full of reversals, full of surprises. The day of darkness will come before the day of light. Falling is followed by rising. Walls are closed up. Walls are open. There is hunger. There is harvest. People are under grace after they're under judgment. See how many more reversals you can find as you reread the book of Amos during the rest of your life. The people will return. The Assyrian exile, which takes place in the late 700s, is followed by the Babylonian exile. And ultimately, the return of God's people in the Persian period through Cyrus. The Assyrians are overtaken, and they themselves, by God, are punished through the Babylonians. The Persians eclipse the Babylonians, and then ultimately the Greeks, the Persians, and the Romans, the Greeks. But the punishment does come to an end. God is good. The fallen tent will be rebuilt. Much of the Bible-believing world thinks that this took place in 1948, when after decades of the Zionist movement, the modern nation of Israel was established. And yet that really doesn't work. One reason it doesn't work is that modern Zionism is primarily an atheistic movement. Its main leaders were atheists. It was put into play through brutality, through military might, and through Americans lobbying Congress, Britons lobbying Parliament. And you can learn about the story anywhere. It's all public knowledge. But when eventually the modern state of Israel was formed, after World War II, after the Holocaust, many people rejoiced, certainly not the Palestinians. It was claimed as a fulfillment of prophecy. It was hailed as, well, God's words to the prophets coming true. And yet God had given all the land to the people of Israel. Please see Joshua 21:43. And he brought them back to the land. As Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel prophesied, he brought them back through Cyrus. And we read about this in the last chapter of 2 Chronicles and the first chapter of Ezra. The restoration of the land is not referring to modern Israel. In fact, most Orthodox Jews say that this restoration, this event of 1948, was ungodly and was not a fulfillment of Scripture, because they hold that if the nation becomes a nation again, if the people return to the land, it'll happen only when Messiah comes. This is something many evangelicals are unaware of. But what does the prophet Amos mean then when he says David's fallen tent will be rebuilt? Well, we don't have to guess about this, because this is explained in the New Testament. And it's in the year 49 AD. Not the year 1948 AD, the year 49 AD. And when Paul comes back, he's had a couple of missionary journeys, and they're discussing the issue of whether the Gentiles need to become Jews first, and they have a huge council called the Council of Jerusalem. And Peter shares, and at the end, after Barnabas and Paul share, James gives the verdict. But let me read the section where Amos 9 is quoted. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. Brothers, he said, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written. After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord who does these things, things known from long ago. James continues, it is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. So Amos 9 is fulfilled in the Gentile mission. It was being fulfilled through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, who's the apostle to the Gentiles. It was being fulfilled in the first century. David's fallen tent was being rebuilt at that time in the Church of Christ, in God's action as the kingdom of heaven breaks into human history, and God does this wonderful thing, and his glorious vision, this international vision, everyone on the planet hearing the gospel, everyone hearing and choosing to follow the Messiah. That's the vision. That's what's being fulfilled. And that happens in the first century, not the 20th. This is such an encouraging passage. So encouraging. And the purpose of this rebuilding includes all the nations. And then we have another image, the plowman overtaking the reaper. The first couple of times I read Amos, I thought, now what? How can the plowman overtake the reaper? But exactly. He's saying there's such a big harvest that people will not have time to take out last year's harvest before the plowman comes, the one who's sowing the seed for next year's harvest. Remember, we're dealing with an agrarian society, and the judgment oracles often feature the reversal, or the, let's say, the blighting of agriculture. Small crops, famine, cracked earth. And oracles of blessing portray the opposite. Things are going well. There's an abundant harvest. And The land is fruitful, it's bountiful. And that's the image. The plowing normally took place in the autumn, October, November. The reaping would take place, maybe 5 months later, 6 months later, in March or April. And so that's quite a picture of the plowman overtaking the reaper. And an amazing fertility. Grapes growing on the upper reaches of the land, the inaccessible reaches. Now, such abundant fertility requires water. Would these be the waters described in passages like Ezekiel 47 and the end of Revelation, the stream that comes out and waters the land? The enemies, even Edom, are to be called by God's name. The towns of the northern kingdom of Israel will be rebuilt. This is very good news. In short, before we can hear this message of hope, we must hear the message of judgment. It's time to conclude the series. I really appreciate your taking the time to read and study and pray about the material and to persevere through the first 11 lessons. And now in this 12th concluding lesson, I pray that things really are coming together and the message is making sense. The book concludes with good news. The people will return. The fallen tent will be rebuilt. The plowman will overtake the reaper. This is a message of hope. But this would have been meaningless had Amos delivered it when he first crossed from southern Judah into northern Israel, because he had work to do. As one writer put it, perhaps the saddest aspect of the book of Amos is not the tone of doom throughout its pages, but the perennial relevance of its message beyond its own world and time. For human society in the modern world has changed very little from that which Amos encountered, and his message continues to speak to each succeeding generation with the same immediate relevance and urgency. And so I would like to ask you, as you continue to ponder the vital lessons of the prophet Amos, consider lifestyle. Are we guilty of conspicuous consumption? Are we hard-hearted towards the needy? Do we not care about those who live beyond our immediate horizon? Do we need to take a lesson from the book of Amos? Are we guilty of any of the things that ancient Israel had fallen right into? Idolatry, sexual sin, alcoholic sin, mistreating, failure to love others, oppression, shady business ethics. Oh, there are many things. I just don't see how we can read a book like Amos and think, well, that just applies to the ancient times. It's as relevant today as it was in the 8th century. And that vision with which the book concludes, intimation of a time when God's blessing will be poured out abundantly and the entire world will be blessed. That's the image that the Bible begins with. That's the image of in the beginning of the Bible, in the beginning of Genesis, which is reiterated to Abraham when the Lord first speaks to him in Genesis 12. And it's the image that we can trace throughout Scripture that culminates in the apocalypse in the book of Revelation. And if we will get this message in our hearts, I don't think we can help but say something. Because through his prophets, God revealed his plan, and he reminded his people, lest they drift away again. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy?
We hope you enjoyed Douglas's teaching on the book of Amos. For additional notes and resources, be sure to check out Douglas's website in the show notes. The website has hundreds of articles, podcasts, and videos for you to access for free. You can also become a premium subscriber and gain access to thousands of online resources from Douglas's teaching ministry. Thanks again for listening.